Hey, it's Tuesday. Got a big show for you.
Oh, there was so much going on. Manu's claiming that he can feed a family of 100 for $2, Robin. That was quite outrageous.
Well, okay, 4 for 20, but yes.
Yeah, same thing. Plus the PM, Rich Uncle Mal, joined us from Canberra. He loved it. Sepora went into the jungle last night. Of course, formerly.
Who?
Well,
okay, Kate Fisher.
Kate Fisher, but we can't say
you
that
can't
anymore.
Say
we can't say
that,
her name.
Man. She gets really unhappy.
Who cares about her?
She was going to slap someone upside the head if she heard Kate Fisher in there. That's what she said.
No. She's so desperate she's on that show. Let's face facts.
But how could you not? Because you'd go, Sepora, I don't know you, Sepora. And then she'd have to go, I'm Kate Fisher. And they go, oh, Kate. And they go, okay. can't call me that.
No. Is it spelled the same way as Sepora the beer? The
no,
Japanese
it's
beer.
No. It's got a T and a Z in it. It's
not Sepora.
D, a Z, there's a G, there's a silent D. It's all happening.
Actually, we just need to send the road ragers out. They'd take care of her.
Jeez, you'll hear some of those. People who have been a victim and perpetrators of road rage. Plenty going on in the catch-up. We'll catch you soon, Eve.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away. But what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Every Tuesday, we go straight to the man in the top, the man in charge of our nation. There is only one, Rich Uncle Mal, our PM. Morning, PM. And listen, you've shown yourself to be a little bit soft as a world leader. Why aren't you commenting on Donald Trump's travel bans?
Well, just before I get to Donald Trump, good morning to you, Marto, Ed and Robin. I'd just like to say that I am a road rager.
Oh,
I just want people to get... When I'm speeding along in my Bentley, I want the communists and the pinkos to get out of my way so I can get on with running the country.
Yeah,
that's
why I
road rage.
I get you. Now, what about this travel ban? What about this travel ban?
You haven't got much strength when it comes to Trump.
Listen, I'm not going to comment on what's going on in another country. That's up to the world leader of that country.
Right.
But I'd just like to direct you to his Twitter account. Yeah. A lot of bad dudes, he said, study the world. And then he referred us to his Facebook page. Listen, Donald's a sandwich short of a picnic, and I'm scared of him. So that's why I'm not commenting.
He is a loose cannon. Yeah, he is a loose cannon. Hey, Rich Uncle Mal, have you been watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
Oh, Ed, I just can't wait to get home each night, curl up on the couch with Luce and watch I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I love it.
Really?
What great big names they've got in the jungle too. Nazim Hussain, Tom Arnold, and of course one of my favourites, Jay LaGuire. I loved him on Play School, but I really loved him in Water Rats as Constable Tommy Tevita.
Yeah,
the talking Maori with a heart of gold.
We loved it.
What I'm really looking forward to is a wild beast getting into the encampment and just tearing the face off a celebrity.
Well, I love that. I'd love
just
that.
Like a lion eating Steve Price. That'd be
beautiful,
wouldn't it?
Beautiful.
But
yes.
I think the big winner, the big front runner at this stage is former Kate Fisher, Zipporah Malka. I respect her Judaism. I respect the fact that she works in aged care. And I respect that she really does love a Krispy Kreme. I'm not fat-shaming. We just really do share that together.
That's right.
Are you enjoying the summer, Rich Uncle Mal?
Well, Robert, I'm glad you asked, because as you can tell, I've always had an even tan right down to my fingertip. And I'll leave this country for the Amalfi Coast at the drop of a hat. I spend my time out on the harbour in my kayak paddling away. But, of course, I'm so excited because tomorrow is my favourite month of the year, February.
I
feel every letter in the word. Good on you guys. And before I go, I'd just like to say, talking about road rage, the Triple M rocks the M1.
Oh, thank you, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. We will catch up with you soon. Thanks again,
sir. Good on you guys. Bye now.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and OVO will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Marto and Robin, everyone now has seen the footage probably a couple of times of that road rage incident on the Gold Coast, of the guy stopping his car, his daughter's in the car with him and his wife. He gets out, she gets out, the daughter gets out, and then there's a Muay Thai, a former Muay Thai champion who gets out of the other car, and they fight, and the bloke in the first car ends up unconscious. There's the young girl gets hit as well, and now I believe that the Muay Thai champion may have handed himself in.
Well,
and been granted
to.
Bail
yeah,
as well.
Basically had to. Had been named everywhere. You're right, Robin. And it got us talking about road rage because it's quite a shocking incident when you see it because you can't see what's happened on the road, but to lead up to this incident. But three people fighting in the street as a result of that, it's quite shocking.
What about when he hit the girl? Like they showed him on the news last night. He actually was an Australian Muay Thai, which is kicking and punching champion. So he is an armed weapon around our streets. He's beaten up the 50-year-old. He knocked him out cold when he hit him in that temple, and then he said he didn't know that was a girl, and he's very sorry. I saw Channel 9 caught up with
him. What do you mean you don't know it's a girl? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Like, he was full on punching someone in the face because what? They cut him off.
Over what?
Road rage. Road rage is full on.
It is full on. Road rage is absolutely full
on. Why can't you let it go? I can never work it out.
I would never stop my car. There is no way I'm going. But there's quite a difference between you and I. Like, there is no way that I would challenge a driver. I don't care what they did to me. I would be so frightened that they would hurt me in a way that I couldn't get out of.
Well, it's not very often women perform the road rage. Often they get threatened, but there's not many girls will have a go. But, God, some blokes are so angry.
Yeah, and we were talking about this in the office, and one of our esteemed colleagues joins us now with their own road rage story, Marto.
Joe, can you tell us? Now, Joe, I think you've all heard him. Well, you're reading the news, the sport over the weekends all over the place and write a lot of the sport. Mate, can you tell us what you saw yesterday and where you were?
Yeah, I was leaving the studio yesterday and on my way to the gym. I went off the M1 at Tarragindi, and the traffic sort of stopped in front of me suddenly. We were doing about 60 k's an hour, really strange. Guy went out on the opposite side of the road, almost hit a truck in the oncoming lane.
What walking, like running?
No, in a car, black car. Pulled out and then rammed into another car, basically, and tried to stop in the middle of the road. Then kept tailing this car, continued all the way from Tarragindi out to Rocklea. And as I went into journo mode and just went, look, something's happening here.
I see you followed.
And I sort of followed from a distance just to see. Anyway, they kept going. They kept going back in the other direction, all the way back to Annerley.
What?
Got to Ipswich Road, and the guy who was getting tailed, chucked a Yui. He's pulled up at front of the police station, run up to the police door, and started knocking on the door of the police station. And this guy, this guy who was following, stopped in the middle of Ipswich Road in Annerley, got out of his car, and started abusing him in front of the police station. And then I got up closer. The guy had his wife and a kid in the car.
So when they were trailing each other, were they doing it at high speed? Were they just...
No, it was kind of interesting. It was initially, and then they kept sort of stopping at lights and what have you, and then it was really clear because the guy was changing lanes and trying to get away from this guy, and he just kept following him, like, really close as well.
So what did the police do?
Police came out, and that guy took off as soon as the police came out.
Can I check something? I might have missed some of it. The wife and the children were with the chaser or the chasee?
Well, there was a wife in both cars. I'm assuming a wife.
Oh, my God.
The couple who were being chased were really shaken. Yeah. And I spoke to them afterwards, obviously spoke to the police and gave them a statement.
Oh, you pulled up?
Yeah. Well, I was just really concerned about what was going to happen.
So they got number plates and stuff,
I guess. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's going to the police. So they're going to look into it.
Okay,
so
what happens in your brain that you would think it's okay? Like, you're still, I get that, whatever, you're angry. You follow a guy to a police station, the police are coming out, and yet you're still in the middle of the road abusing someone. Like, something must switch that just goes, this is not logic.
But
I'm
you're
just
angry.
Gonna go it.
You're normally angry because you're in a hurry to get to somewhere. How many kilometres does this go for? 12?
Probably 15, 20 minutes.
Right, eh?
So, a fair way.
Whew. It's
Thanks,
happening
Joe.
All the time.
That's an incredible story. You're right, Robin. It's happening all the time. If you have been involved in a road rage incident, or you've witnessed one, Let us know. Let's hear what's going on out there, because we see the ones that end up in on the news, the very sometimes the quite tragic ones. But even that story that Joe told us just then, that's unbelievable. The amount of time that they've spent chasing, that guy spent chasing the other one over what? Cut him off? Who knows? What is going on out there with road rage?
Ruby of Wynnum, what happened?
Hi, well, I was driving on the M1 and I just got off the M1 and I accidentally cut someone off. Like, yes, it was my bad. But then he followed me all the way home, like to my street. And then I had to call my dad to come outside. And then he called my uncle, because I was too scared to get out of my car because he was just sitting at the top of my driveway.
What?
Jesus. And then what happened?
Yeah, he followed me. Well, my dad came out and he obviously saw my uncle. They're quite scary guys. And then he ran off.
Yeah, Ruby.
I was shaking in the car. I had no idea what to do.
Ruby, how long into it did he make any threatening? Did he toot his horn and wave his fist or what?
Oh, yes. Oh, he drove past me and, like, gave me the finger, and then he, like, pulled up back behind me and was flashing his lights at me and tooting his horn.
But what does he
poor
want?
Girl.
But, like, what?
I don't know what he wanted.
Yeah, what do they want?
What do you want? Do you want to have your moment where someone listens to the fact and says sorry? Like, that's not what someone's getting out of a car to do. You poor thing. Well, did you get his license plate and stuff?
Well, I was too busy panicking. I didn't lock it. I don't know. My dad was—he got it, and they did send it into police. And there wasn't really much they could do because they would have just made him come and see me and say sorry.
Sure. Yeah. Well, no, I don't want to see that bloke again. Thanks.
Dad may go over and visit him if it goes any further. Your dad. It sounds like Ruby. Thank you.
Craig of Tingalpa, what happened to you?
How you doing, Rob?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Did you get involved in road rage?
Yeah, I've got my whole family in the car as we're talking. We went to the Colmsley Reserve.
Beautiful place, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful place. Anyway, we went in and admittedly I did the wrong thing, so I admit fault. So I was going down this into looking for a park because it was a pretty hot day and it was like everyone was getting a bit hot under the collar. Anyway, this guy's turned around and gone, it's only one way. And I said, yeah, I'm only going one way. And I called him a ferret monkey.
Yeah. Right. Oh, okay. So, name calling. Whoops.
Yeah, name calling. I know. I admit I did the wrong thing.
Hot
so anyway,
day.
I thought it was a two way going in the car park. Cut a long story short, I came back out of the reserve, and here he is waiting for me, on the main road there. So we're talking like that Lytton Road turn off or whatever.
Yeah.
He stopped in the middle of the road, got out of his car. In this case, I knew straight away. What was going on here? He's left his door open. I've chucked the bloody BMW locked all the car up because I've got all the family in, and he's bolted towards the car like a zigzag bolt, big woman junk monkey, and then he's gone like this in front of my door.
What?
And he's going, oh, you're scared now, aren't you, mate? And then, like, and then we looked across and he's got three kids sitting in his car.
So was he just trying to scare you and then he went away, or did it escalate?
I basically de-escalated. I've gone, no, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
exactly. Thank you, Craig.
I'm not having any part of this.
No.
Fair enough, too. And Karen of North Lakes, what happened on the M1?
Similar to Ruby's story, actually. I was merging onto the M1 and it was really heavily raining, and I did cut the lady off a little bit. So I gave her the little wave of apology, like it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if she thinks I've flipped her the bird or something.
Oh, no.
Next minute I know she's beside me, and it must be a regular thing for her. She's pulled a tyre lever out of her door.
What?
And starts waving it and winding down a window and screaming at me. Followed me from Kessels Road at Macravat there on the highway all the way to Logan. I was working at near IKEA there at the time.
Did you get a bit nervy?
Very. I thought if there's a red light or something, I'm not stopping. I don't, because she came off the highway with me, followed me all the way to work. I'd called the girls at work and said, can you at least come down and be there when I pull up? And she did a couple of laps of the car park screaming and yelling and then finally drove away. I thought, I don't mind if she gets the car, just I'm getting out of here.
Oh, it's so scary.
This is horrible.
This is horrible. And there are so many calls coming through. I couldn't believe the response here, Robin.
I want someone who's done road rage.
No,
they can be anonymous. There are those that are willing to admit that they have done it. Dino of Beachmere, what happened?
Oh, well, I was coming off the Pacific Motorway onto the Gateway and I was in the right lane and I had a truck beside me. And I was in a truck myself, and I just looked in my mirrors to get onto the change lanes because I knew his lane was going to end. I looked up, and he's nearly on top of me.
Ooh.
And I, asked him, what are you doing, mate? Like, put my hands up, and he just gives me the bird. So I just jumped on the radio and, just gave him an earful through the radio on my two-way, and all the other truckies jumped in and said, oh, yeah, what an idiot. We've seen him, mate. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't have to, do any road rage driving.
No.
I just give it to him through the radio, which was, it's a lot easier.
What a wonderful system. Truckies get direct feedback to each other.
Did he respond to you, though?
Sorry?
Did he respond, Dino? Did he actually, after you gave him the serve?
Because all the other truckies are jumping in on it too, so I don't think he didn't have much to say about it.
Dino, you guys have tremendous respect for each other, and you are the knights of the road, I believe, truckies. This guy might have been a new truckie, you reckon?
No, he's just impatient, I think.
Right,
yeah. Okay, fair enough. If anyone's listening, remember, give trucks
plenty of room.
Yeah, give them some room. They need the room.
The other one is, don't get stuck. Don't get caught next to them, especially on their left-hand side, for too long. They can't see you.
That scares me so much. Samuel of Moray Field, you've done some road rage. What happened?
Yes, I'm with Dino on this one. I am a truck driver myself, and I constantly get cut off about once or twice a day, and people wonder why they get killed and end up underneath our prime movers. At best, we are about from 45 ton to B doubles to about 60, 65 ton in weight all up when fully loaded. Give us some room.
You can't do road rage. You can't be bullying people.
No.
So did you do anything?
No, same thing. Like people, other truckies see it. And then, they jump on the radio and, back me up and give them hell and everything like that. So all us truckies, we're all in it together. If we don't look after each other, who's going to look after us?
Yeah, you keep each other accountable. I quite like that system, Samuel. I think it's quite a good idea. All right, so there's a couple of truckies.
Just before we move on, Ed, from the truckies, I read something yesterday, a poll of truckies, the car most likely to cut them off. Prius.
Oh, that, no.
You're
there is
just
no,
saying
there
that.
Is no, no.
Read it yesterday. Read a poll.
Really?
Yep. There you go.
There's no way that a Toyota would do that.
Oh, it's Toyota. I didn't know what brand of Prius was.
Yeah, Toyota Prius. Okay, we're going to call this wonderful woman anonymous, but you have done road rage. What happened?
Well, I used to drive cabs for a living, so I was always on the road, and it was in my own time, and I had a gas car. Now, I have children that were sitting in the gas car, and there was this lady sitting up my backside. And I was very scared because I've got a gas car. You hit the back of me, it could explode. So I was very paranoid about it. Mm. So I pulled over, let her get in front of me, and I chased her for about half hour.
Oh.
She pulled into a driveway. I pulled out the front of this house. I didn't know it was her house or whose house it was. Apparently it wasn't hers. Got out of my car, went up. She's winding the window up. I'm not a violent person, so I wasn't going to, hit her or anything. I just pulled my pants down and put my bum on the window and said, now get up my bum.
Pressed ham.
Pressed ham.
Pressed ham against the window. What
happened in your head that made you think that was going to be the right response?
I was just so cranky. I just thought, how dare you invade my space and try and invade and endanger my children and not drive safely and sit so close up the back of my car. I was cranky. I was furious at it.
And you kept holding on to that anger for half an hour.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you do. You did. Yes, I did. I'm not like that anymore, thank goodness.
Good.
I don't drive cabs anymore, so yes. You do get very cranky on the road if you drive a lot.
What did she say at the end as you were pulling your pants up and walking back to your car? About your bum being against her window?
She didn't respond to me. I actually had the police come to my house tell me that.
Did they do a positive ID? Come on, whip them down.
Yeah, well, they thought it was funny, but they said to me, look, next time you do it, you'll be done for indecent exposure. I went, okay, no worries, thank you.
Yeah, but at least you weren't violent,
That's a comical road rage.
And thank you so much, Ed of Chermside. You were the road rager. What did you do?
Yeah, mate, I bought this new car, this XR6 Falcon that I had, and I only had the car for half an hour, and we were in this traffic jam. Yeah. And a bloke in a Land Cruiser come straight up the rear end of me and smashed the car to pieces.
Oh, no.
First 30 and minutes.
And then he took off, didn't get out of the car, so the car was still drivable. I chased this bloke for about a couple of Ks, and then he wouldn't pull over. I said, look, mate, you're crashing in my car, pull over. So when I got out of the car, I walked over and I told him to wind the window down, and he wouldn't wind the window down, so I stuck my fist straight through the window and dragged him out of the car.
Jeez, Ed.
Ed, what happened to him?
Yeah, what ended up happening, mate? Yeah.
Oh, he ended up by getting his details out of him.
I don't know if that's road rage. That's actually, that bloke broke the law. That's a citizen's arrest.
No, hang on.
Oh, well, I was angry about my new car. I'd only had the car half an hour.
No,
Brand spanking new with 10 Ks on the clock, and he rear-ended me in the traffic jam.
And didn't stop.
Ed, that's not okay.
That's against the law.
You can't put your fist through someone's car and pull them out and then
bash them. Citizen's arrest, you can.
Oh, well, I was pretty angry at the time. My brand new car didn't even make it to the maiden voyage to get in home.
Okay, so what happened in the end?
Oh, I got his rego numbers and then had the police go around there and they got a verbal warning for the aggravation of putting my fist through a window. Broke two fingers at the same time, but it didn't really feel it because I was that mad, I suppose.
All right, Ed, thanks so much for your call. That is a terrible situation.
I think we can all agree that it is.
That is horrific.
That is horrific.
That is horrific. Finally, we go back to Anonymous.
Okay.
Anonymous. What happened in your road rage incident?
Yeah, I was at a service station at Blacksoil, and I was going past the service station at Blacksoil heading to Toowoomba, and a car came flying out of the servo. They were doing road work. It was one lane, and the car came out and cut me off, and then started waving a large screwdriver at me. So I ended up chasing them to Toowoomba. It was like Smokey and the Bandit. The coppers got me at Withcott, bottom of the range. These car wouldn't let me pass them. I was trying to pull them over, trying to sort them out. Yeah, got up near Withcott there and looked in my mirror and I thought, geez, there's a lot of coppers behind me. I better pull over and let them get past me. And when I pulled over, they pulled over as well and then surrounded me and dragged me out of the car. And yeah,
they grabbed you out of the car and then...
I got arrested for it.
It sounds as though that maybe the police, in intervening, they might have stopped an incident that you would have regretted even more, perhaps, down the line.
Yeah. May have, yeah. Well, there was three of them and there was one of me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but still,
there was three in that car the other day when that bloke, the Muay Thai guy...
Yeah.
If you caught him... What would you have done?
Oh, probably would have been physical.
Yeah, see, Anonymous, But now, looking back now, Anonymous, what would you have done if the situation came up again? What would you have done?
Well, I think I learnt my lesson because they were going to throw the book at me.
Thank you, Anonymous.
let's not go to the second one.
Everyone that's out there, just listen to your stories, everyone. Listen to the stories. Something happens, take a breath and think, is this something that I want to affect the rest of my life? Does it matter that much?
Well, the rest of the world was watching MKR because it is now after the tennis. Yeah. You, Marto, were getting fixated on the two new intruders coming into I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
See, we got a split household. I don't know everyone else, but I've got a wife who's infatuated with MKR, couldn't wait for the silly tennis to be over, as she called it. So she's happy. So I had to go downstairs, but I switched. I watched that celebrity show.
Yeah, I'm a Celebrity, Get
what's
Me Out of Here.
What's our mate, the Uber driver, who used to win Australian
Casey,
Idol?
Casey Donovan.
Oh dear. You know how they got to sit there? See, there's a lot of hours. Remember last year we used to hear a lot of sportsman stories from Alex, from Favola. What's his name?
Brendan Favola
and Warney would tell sportsman lunch stories. There's none of that yet. There's Casey Donovan telling. Did you know what a catfishing meant?
I thought it was when someone sort of pretends to be someone else on the internet to sort of trick you.
And now I've caught catfish. I didn't know I don't see what the relevance is. But sit back, everyone, enjoy Casey Donovan telling somebody called Ash Pollard, and I'm with Ash Pollard, who I didn't know until yesterday.
My Kitchen Rolls.
Oh, don't even try. Sitting there telling them what, Casey Donovan, if you're wondering what went wrong in her life, I could tell you this is part of it.
I guess the biggest standout would have to be the catfishing incident. So I just started chatting to this guy and he was supposed to come to the airport, didn't come. But then his best mate came, this chick.
Did you ever meet him?
No. So catfishing is when you're tricked into a relationship and it ended up being the chick that picked me up from the airport.
Did you hang out with her until...
Oh, yeah.
For how long?
For 6 years.
They were talking for 5 minutes. I cut all the silly bits out. For 6 years. Uh-huh. And the girl said, Casey, how did you not know, how did you talk? Yeah. She said she was able to sound like a man. And then I thought it was my boyfriend talking to me. It was actually the girl.
Yeah.
Weird.
Really weird.
Write a song about it, Case. Or when you get in the back of the Uber, what a great story to hear on your way to the airport.
Yeah, well, you'd need lots of stories like that. I mean, there were some highlights. Chris Smith has entered into the jungle. He of, you know, the father
Maya catwalk model.
Yeah, and Danny Minogue's the father of Danny Minogue's child.
Oh, he's Australia's most successful backpacker. He came out here just as an Englishman with no job, and he's now a television superstar, and he was with a Minogue.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
And the other
Hold on, just stop for a second. I just want to see who else is on the podium there. Mark Nicholas, correct?
Wonderful, yeah, wonderful backpacker. Well, Matt Smith, remember the guy that was captain of the Raw? He came out. No, seriously, he came out and had no. And now he's a champion of the Raw. He's wonderful. Who's another famous
Tommies
English...
who didn't go home? Tony Greig. Yeah. Well, sort Tony of by Greg. South Africa. Good Tony rest in Greg. Peace, Tony.
Actually, we better make sure that Kevin Peterson leaves.
Because he's set for a term here. You're right.
He's going to get one of those.
What were we talking about?
Well, all I was going to mention was Kate Fisher, whose name is not Kate Fisher
she
now.
She wasn't there on the first night.
No, she was one of the intruders with Chris Smith.
What night two they've got intruders? Big Brother, they used to wait for a month and go, now it's boring, we better send somebody in.
I do need to know, because I was reading an article about her in the Australian Women's Weekly. How do you pronounce her name now?
There's a TZ at the start, but apparently some of it's silent. Yeah. So I think I call her Tizpora, but I think that's wrong. I think
which
it's
we love.
Zipora or Zipora.
Zipora.
She changed her name.
Zipora.
Yeah, well, hang on. Yeah. Let's have a listen, because she does say it.
I'm Zipora Marco. You may remember me as Kate Fisher from back in the 90s when I was an It Girl. I did lots of television shows. I did a movie called Sirens. Yeah. I was also engaged to James Packer.
Oh, yeah. Zipora.
What were we looking at with Sirens again, Ed?
No, well, she had them out, and they were semi-submerged.
Ed, you might want to watch this show, because this ain't Kate Fisher. This is the Zipora who ate Kate Fisher. That's who we have here. I'll let you watch it yourself. Now, Robin, I just want to show you who you're dealing with here in terms of Ed. A lot of protests overseas. Ed, you used to like to protest a lot when you were at university and stuff.
I knew you were going to do this. Robin, I used to go to protests at university, right?
Why?
And I used to push my way to the front, and often I didn't know what we were protesting about until I leaned over the front of the crew and read the banner upside down. Oh, what are we against today? Oh, uranium. Yeah, that's terrible.
Because who used to protest?
Why? Why were you there?
Hot chicks. And I used to, picked up a number of girls.
And it's passionate. Like a protest is a passionate place. And you've got to put your arms around girls and go, I know, me too.
Yeah, same here. And I'd say things, you know, I'd start the chant and then I'd sort of look at them and our eyes would lock and we'd both shake our heads at the state of the world.
It worked for you.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. Well, it's still going on. Did you see all those protests? Does that help you? Does that clear things up a little?
You know, it kind of shows me what...
Who he is.
Yeah, really.
What he stands for. Like those
morally
people
bankrupt.
Overseas. All right, Mr. Protester. Yes. Listen to this. I've got some audio, and you know how important it is to rhyme. What do we want? You know, and all the rest of
it.
Yeah, easy to understand. Here's some protesters. See if you can work out what the hell they're saying.
Refugees are welcome here. Refugees are welcome here.
Refugees are something or no problem.
Welcome here.
Welcome here. I thought no problem.
Ed will tell you. You don't go using three syllable words when you've got a protest.
No.
It's a single syllable occupation.
Refugees are. Refuge, great. There you go.
If you can't spell it, don't say it. All right. But then there were some other protesters, and I like this one. So get your head around this for a goodie.
The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching.
That's better.
The whole world is watching. And laughing our guts out at you blokes. That's much better.
That's not too bad. Are we going to go to someone? I mean, as much as I enjoyed that expertise, Marto, when are we going to speak to someone who actually knows
someone
about
on
this
the
stuff?
Ground.
It's okay. It's okay. We've got someone, Zoe Daniels, ABC Washington Bureau
Chief. To tell
us
what Trump's up to?
Yeah, like she can just kind of encapsulate the last 10 days and actually make sense of all those protests.
Yes, indeed. That is next. Marto, Ed and Robin, it is the new Triple M. What do we want?
Coffee.
When do we want it?
Now.
Soon as.
And to tell us more about what the story is actually in America is Zoe Daniel from the ABC, the Bureau Chief in Washington. Hello, Zoe. What on earth is going on over there?
Morning. Yes, there's. I guess it's a movable feast, you could describe it as people try to work out exactly what this policy means, because as you'd be aware, it was implemented with some haste after Donald Trump had only been president for a week. So it's had all sorts of consequences with various authorities and also members of the community trying to work through exactly how to implement it, firstly, and just what the impact is on various people, whether they be US permanent residents, for example, or green card holders who might have been out of the country when the ban was signed, or refugees who'd been through a lengthy process of vetting and were expecting to be able to come to America, some even who were in transit who were then stopped. So it's been pretty messy, and as you said, there have been protests at various airports around the country, including in Chicago, where I've just returned from. There have been large protests there over the last couple of days.
And we've certainly seen all the protests and a lot of really angry people on TV, but for the rest of the states, are they caring about what he's doing?
Well, look, I think you've got to look at the split in who voted for Donald Trump. I mean, we know that he's a historically unpopular incoming president. His numbers are very low compared to all of the other presidents in modern history. So while those people who voted for him probably do support this policy, because he was very clear on his plan during his campaigning last year that this is what he intended to do. And at the end of the day, he won the election on the back of the votes of those people in particular states who got him over the line. But he did not win the popular vote. Hillary Clinton got about 3 million more votes than Donald Trump. So it's arguable that the majority of the population doesn't support this, but those who voted for Donald Trump do, and he was elected and he's the president, so he's now in the position to implement the policies that he campaigned on.
Zoe, it's coming up to 10 days for Donald Trump. He keeps on signing things and then just showing them to the camera. Look what I've done. Give us the report card on how America views what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's important to note about those executive orders and presidential memorandums that he's been signing, and he certainly has been on the front foot in doing that, is that a lot of them are more sort of, I guess, thematic than actual, in the sense that they say the US does not intend to be part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal, for example, or the US administration intends to dismantle Obamacare, otherwise known as the Affordable Care Act, which is the health insurance scheme. So they're more statements of intention of things that he plans to do, and effectively they're directives to the various departments. You cannot employ people. There's a hiring freeze, for example, in the government departments here. So they're kind of statements of intent more than actual actions in a lot of cases, other than specifically this immigration ban and a couple of other things.
He's not stopping on Twitter, though, is he? He's still manically putting out stuff and talking in sort of really, you know, parochial language, like looking at this immigration thing. He's saying, if the ban was announced with 1 week notice, the bad would rush into our country during that week. A lot of bad dudes out there.
Yeah, and that goes to a quote from one of his rallies last year where he used the expression bad dudes, and that got a lot of play in the national media here. He's used Twitter and Facebook to a lesser extent, but particularly Twitter to control the national conversation over the last year. And those who back him, both his advisors and his supporters, understand that that's his method of communicating, and it's also his method of avoiding having to face the press on a daily basis to have to answer questions.
Good idea.
So he controls the conversation by doing that rather than actually having to have the conversation, if you like.
Sorry, Daniel, ABC Washington Bureau Chief. What an interesting time to be working over in the United States. Thanks for your time this morning.
Pleasure.
Hey, Brendan, yes, you said the new Triple M. Triple M is very new in Brisbane this year. There's going to be a new show in the afternoon. Marto, how many co-hosts in this breakfast show, how many co-hosts have you had over the years?
It's never been my fault.
And they all end up loving you, Marto.
It's got to be 20-ish. Some of them didn't last long.
20?
Some of them weren't made for radio, Rob. Some of them, you know what Ed and I say, they've dropped you, into the show, wherever you want to put it. But what do you say, Ed?
I've been saying to anyone that asks me that it's great, because normally these days when someone joins a radio show, they've come straight from The Bachelorette, where instead what we've got is a 20-year broadcaster who knows exactly what she's doing.
Thank you.
I know what I would prefer, Marto.
That's
right. I know exactly what I would prefer.
And when you say there's been plenty, there's been a lot of come through with no idea what they were doing, and it's not all that easy. And we've got someone who we don't have to tell how to do their job. It's
been quite the opposite. Someone who has been
helped us so far.
Who has improved what we do, even from the short time that you've been here, Robin. But we are not. We are like the ABC that we are a communist organisation. No, we are like that in that we reflect both sides of the coin. You and I, Marto, have been very happy that Robin's joined us, and we've been hearing from a lot of listeners and from our guests that have been welcoming you, Robin. Yeah. Which is, yes, we hope that you felt welcome.
I do. You guys are awesome.
Well, I'm sorry about this, but we have to do this.
Time to drop the hammer.
In interest of balance, play the intro, Brendo.
Triple M presents Marto, Ed and Robin's Mean Tweets.
It's been brought to our attention, Ed, that people, there are some people don't like it.
No, they don't. And gee, aren't they vocal on social media about it?
Ah, now you've said the key phrase, they're vocal on social media. Now, people think that Mean Tweets, it was an old Martin Scorsese movie. That's a joke no one's going to get, but it's not. What it is, look it up, kids.
Yeah, I will too.
We wandered in and we've been thrust upon us by some of the some of the brains down at Digital HQ. They said, look at this. Look at all these. Look at this. Look at these unbelievably mean tweets.
Do you know they never, in the old days of radio, they never used to tell you when someone would ring reception or they'd send an email or whatever, no one would, don't give it to Marto.
Right. Yeah, don't
He'll
tell
him. Lose his confidence. No,
listen, in the old days, when the box of dog feces arrived with your name on it, Marto, you never saw it.
No, that's right. They put it in the industrial bin and mentioned no more of it.
Not so anymore.
I'd run into some guy 3 months later. Did you get that box?
No.
Oh, rats. I'll have to send another one.
So what we got here? We got some of the nastier correspondence that's come through, Robin, since you've joined us.
See, it doesn't matter if we read out their names, the people who have sent all this in, because they would have stopped listening by now.
Well, exactly right. And it's a public forum, but actually some of them are so nasty, they kind of make me laugh. Like Lee, she sounds like cats having sex at 2 a.m. on a work night.
Wow. So specific.
As opposed to a weekend.
Or those 3:30 cats when they get stoned. Oh.
And who knew that the word mole was brought into the 21st century?
Oh, who's going with mole?
Oh, I see this one. Sam. Yep. She's a loudmouth, annoying mole. Get rid of her.
Yeah, or Timothy adds to it. Uneducated mole, my ears are bleeding from your ignorance, Robin.
Well, I would get that looked at because it may not be Robin's voice that's causing the bleeding there.
It might have been something, someone you've been sleeping with.
But there was one I agree with. There was one the other day that was shown to me that said, that's it, I'm off to the river.
Yeah.
And I thought, you beauty.
Good luck.
That's all of us at some point.
When we get sacked here. Stephen. Here's Stephen with a tweet. Robin is a wanker.
Thanks, Stephen.
Wow.
Da-da-da-da. At least let me get a chant going when you do that.
Robin's a wanker.
Chris has mistaken his birds. Robin is a parrot. Please fly away.
Okay,
clever. I think, though, the cleverest, if it's clever, I don't even know if it's clever, but, you know, we were talking about the story of the NBL player's eyes popping out of his socket about the mid-match, you know, the basketball.
Yeah.
Trent said, that's horrible, but not as horrible as Robin Bailey's first week on Triple M's breakfast show.
And we all know he should have gone with.
That is horrific.
That is horrific.
Come on, mate.
But that's only your first week.
Yeah, mate.
Your second week, that's more like an anterior cruciate injury.
Yeah.
Third week, be more like a hammy. Fourth week, just a busted rib. Okay. You'll grow.
Before you know it, by the time you get to 6 months, you'll just be an ingrown toenail, and everyone will be happy.
And that was Marto, Ed and Robin's Mean Tweets.
Robin, I am impressed with both of you and Marto's parenting abilities and skills. I'm watching. You've got great kids. You've got great relationships with them, and that's excellent. I tip my hat to both of you.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, something's coming.
No, it's not today. It's actually not.
Okay.
Marto, you have achieved something, which is, in this world where we're always hearing about bludgers and dull bludgers and kids that refuse to get jobs.
Mainly from us. That's mainly what we're saying.
It's 4BC. Call now. And so what you have got a household that is currently 100% employment.
About bloody time. But you're so true. I was so proud. On Sunday night, my son had his high-vis gear ready to roll. We made lunch for Monday together, a few bread rolls, a couple of fruit, got his little esky ready, and off he went. Son, well, daughter's doing some nannying, wife's working. First time in our life, 100% of our household working, out working.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That is very impressive.
That is a fair achievement.
Thank you. You know what? Job done.
What do you mean? Yeah, as a parent,
step away.
You have absolutely achieved.
Right, that's it. You're all on your own because, as you know, and Ed over the last year or so has heard the phone calls from daughter overseas. always wanting money. She's back from overseas. Haven't had to give her any money for a while. Young bloke, since schoolies week, I've had to fork out a bit, fork out a bit. You're right, fork out a bit. Now he's got a car. Oh, I got new petrol. You got to get a job. You can't. It's impossible to get a job between, you know, when he finished school and there's no work in January.
No.
Finally, people started work yesterday and he got some work and he's going to continue to get some.
So what's he doing?
Well, he's keen on landscaping. He was laying turf yesterday. Oh, God only knows. Landscaping's a funny world. You could be doing anybody thing. So right, if anyone needs any landscaping done, I'm happy to give you their number of this company so he keeps on working at beer. I want that high vis to be faded as soon as possible.
Excellent idea. So it's hats off to you, a house of full employment.
Love it.
Now, Robin, in your house, anyone who is of working age is working, yourself and your three boys. You've even got one that's an online entrepreneur.
Yeah,
who seems to be...
He earns more money than I do often because he goes into, he seriously does, he goes into secondhand stores, buys clothing that he knows that kids at his school will really like, and he'll buy like a vintage polo shirt for $7 and then sell it for like
40 or something.
200.
200.
Wow.
Because he researches, because some of them are really, really hard to get. Like, he got a Gucci hat. Who's going to spend $350 on a Gucci hat? Like, really?
A rapper. Did he sell it to a
rapper? They do. He found one in a secondhand store for like $15.
Wow. That's incredible. Okay, so you've got a house of full employment as well. Let's do it. I want to hear who's running the house of goers.
Yeah. Are you saying let's not talk about bludgers and let's not whinge about anything?
Yes.
Who's got their whole household working? How many lunches were made today? How many out the door in your house on their way to work?
All our mornings, Robin, were basically Marto's phone going off and then him going, answering the phone and going, yeah, g'day. How much? And then him having to do it.
What for? No, it's how
internet
much?
Transfer.
And what for?
Yeah.
And you would always pay it though, Marto. You're that kind of guy.
Yeah, I'll never get back. It doesn't matter. Okay, but now it's time for them to move forward under their own steam, and that's what's happening. Thank God. Four humans in our household, including myself, working. Love.
Who's got a house full of goers, Robin?
Paul of Sanford. Tell us about your household.
Yeah, my wife and I both work full time. And I've got three daughters. Two of them work full-time. The other one's at uni and works part-time.
Beautiful.
See, Paul, and are you proud, Paul? When everyone's hi-ho, hi-hoing out the front door, are you proud?
I'm very proud, yeah. Very proud. Mate, I think it's a work ethic thing. If your parents work, you know, if both parents work, there's a good chance all the kids will take it on as well.
You remember those days when they used to put their hand out and need money?
Oh, certainly.
Oh,
I've got three daughters.
Save up for the wedding, mate.
I was going to say, is that
you.
Still the tradition? Mike of Caboolture, tell us about your household.
Hi, I live with my girlfriend and her family, and there's five of us there, including a nine-year-old who goes into work with his parents on Saturdays.
Oh, a nine-year-old?
What does he do at
What's
nine?
What's he doing?
Yeah. They own a cafe in Brendale.
Yeah. And he's out there. What's he out there?
He goes and helps bus tables.
What a champion.
What's the name of the cafe?
Platinum Cafe and Grill. I think you guys plugged a while back.
Yeah, we did too in Brisbane's Best Cafe or Best Coffee. You got to run there. Right. Nice one, Mike.
And Jason.
Good on you, Mike.
Thanks.
Yeah, good work.
Was it Mike? Yeah, it was Mike. Jason of Caboolture. Oh, sorry, Collingwood Park. Jason of Collingwood Park. Tell us about your house.
First of all, welcome aboard, Robin.
Oh, that's very kind, Jason. Thank you.
Yes, I have three children, a girl, boy, girl. The eldest is 19, nearly 20. My son's 18 and my youngest daughter, 14. The oldest two both work full-time. My wife and I work full-time and the 14-year-old's got a part-time job at McDonald's.
Jace, how did you instill that? How did you put it in their minds that working was the way forward?
I'm probably about the same age as Marto, so I grew up, if you wanted anything in life, you had to work for it.
When did you start working, Jace? I put me down for 13, I reckon my parents had me working. What about you?
Yeah, I was probably about 13, nearly 14. I did a paper run, did a milk run.
Did anything?
Actually sold bags of lollies for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, and you got 30 cents a bag for every bag of lollies you sold.
Wow. That is such a great old school story, because, you know, Jace, Marto might be a little bit older than you. His first job was swabbing the decks on the First Fleet.
Okay, we've still got another caller. Yeah, very funny, Jace, isn't he? Hey, Chris from Wynnum, how many you got working in your house?
We've got five kids all working between the age of 16 and 21.
Oh, bang!
That is
great
impressive.
Work,
so what do they all do? They start with the 16-year-old.
So the 16-year-old has been working for a year for Universal Home Theatres. He does TVs and installs
sound
systems.
I did that at 16 as well, Chris.
Nice.
There you go.
Yep. and he loves it. He is awesome. Yep. And then we have a 17-year-old. He's a roofer for Mahara Contracting, so he does a really... He's been working for 2 years.
Wow.
So mummy's been doing a lot of driving all around Brisbane for the last 2 years.
A lot of sweating and a lot of eating too.
Yep, absolutely. Oh. And then we have a 19-year-old who's a steel fixer doing pools.
Oh, God, don't
that's
tell me.
That's a hard
all right.
job.
Robin's having a pool done at the moment. I reckon that's one of the hardest jobs in heat. If you're in that hole fixing steel, it is the worst job in Brisbane, I'll give you. Right.
Yeah, they argue about it, the roofer and the pooler.
Yes, I bet. Who gets paid more money between those two?
The steel fixer, because he's older at the moment.
Oh, all right, you got one more. What does he do?
No, we got two more. We got a 20-year-old. She just turned 20, and she's a property manager, and a 21-year-old who's a sprinkler fitter.
That's unbelievable.
I love
Chris.
Well done.
Yeah, and they're all so useful as well. You know what? There's not a social media manager amongst them. Congratulations. Well done.
First night of Manny MKR was on My Kitchen Rules. Kath's been looking forward to it. It was on last night. It'll be on every bloody night.
You sat next to her, held her hand, watched diligently.
Nothing to do with it. That Pete Evans, has he started Paleo eating anything Pete. Other than dirt yet? How's he going?
He's a very thin and fit looking man.
Is he just? Right. What's the other bloke's name?
Manu. The Frenchman.
You had a chat to him.
I did.
I don't get him. What's he about?
Well, listen.
Every year, Manu. Every year. It's the best year ever.
But it's true, though, because things, you know, they grow like any other jobs, I suppose, or a school student, you know, they get better every year. It's the motion of things, isn't it?
Now, I'm going to say this because I think you can represent a lot of dads out there. You have a mixed family. You have a new baby.
Yep.
You have a son from another relationship.
Yep.
How does that work? Is it working?
Well, if I say a couple's got 6 kids from the same parent, you still have to juggle, you know, different age. They all have a sport to do, to go. They have different school to go to and so on. I think it's about communicating and letting everybody know what the situation is, and it works out.
Does he like watching you on TV?
He doesn't care anymore. He told his mum a few days ago that he doesn't want me to be at his new school when he goes to year 7 this year, because he doesn't want his new friend to think that he's cool because of me. He wants to be cool by himself.
And how cool is that?
And I said, respect, I won't be there for you.
Can they cook? Can your kids, well, your daughter's time.
My son has become a pain in the butt. He used to eat everything that I would put in his plate. He's fussy about this and this and that, which is a really struggling thing for me. But I'm dealing with it now.
Your son will not eat everything.
No.
I love that.
Yeah, and I used to be so proud of telling parents that my kid would eat everything because I trained him that way. So now he's got a mind of his own and he decides what he wants to eat.
And you're okay. And you do you cook separate meals?
Yes. So I got I got really angry with it to start with, and then I realized that I was shooting myself in the foot anyway because he was not going to eat what was on his plate. So
you just made a whole pile of parents around the world go yes.
I'm not proud of it.
Okay, news in the last week that there is 1 in 5 children in Australia under 4 are obese.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
I think it's all the parents' fault. They're unresponsible. They think they should think about their future. Stop buying food that already made in packets, supermarkets. And it's full of crap and sugar, and that's why they get fat. If you eat, give your kids meat, fish, vegetables, it will never happen.
Okay, so right here, right now, one thing.
Yeah.
One thing do they have to do right now that they could change?
Just go to the butcher and go to the fishmonger and go to the food and veg shop. That's where you buy your stuff.
It's more expensive.
No, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Well, we can do a test if you want. You go to the supermarket, I go to the butcher and the fishmonger, and we cook for 4, and we see where the bills come from and how much I can cook for you.
You know I'll take you up on that.
Sure, 100%.
People see that those fast food chains put these deals together where they feed a family of 4 for $20.
Okay, I can feed a family of 4 for $20.
Do you want to bet?
Yeah, I want to know how.
It's just you don't have to go for the barramundi or for the snapper. There's other pieces of fish which are a tenth of the price that you can do very good meal with.
Okay, so...
I can do a fish pie for much less than $20 okay. for four people.
Next time you come to Brisbane, you are going to do with me on air. We are going to find a family.
All right.
And you will feed a family of four yep. for $20.
That's done.
That is easy to cook.
Done.
I'm going to keep you that, Manu.
Sure. Done. $20 for people.
We're getting you, man. Yeah. I'm going to bring you up to Brisbane.
All right.
You're going to get a family and we will do it. And you think fish pie.
That was an example because I tell you what, I could do a fish pie for eight people for $20.
You could not.
Of course you can.
You're on, Manu.
Okay, done.
It's quite a challenge, Robin Bailey.
Now, hang on a sec. So Manu is now saying that he can feed any number of people using only fish and pastry.
He officially
believes he's Jesus. He has crossed over.
You don't need to go to the bottle shop either. Just get some water. Next thing you know, you're drunk.
All right. So the Who Saw the Screen Actors Guild Awards yesterday?
Saw bits of it.
Oh. There you go. So, Marto.
I saw Richard Wilkins.
The SAGs.
Doesn't count.
Oh. There you go. It's the only place where Richard Wilkins' face looks normal when he's around just Hollywood actors. So, the idea is the Screen Actors Guild Award is where a room full of millionaires give each other statues for dressing up in other people's clothes and saying lines that have been handed to them.
Yes.
Right? And so, they like
They're
to
so
take
talented, creative actors.
They like to take the opportunity to make sure we all know about what they think about politics, because goodness knows that's why we tuned in. So the guy who, Stranger Things, which is a show on Netflix, Marto, it's like a Steven Spielberg 80s sort of kids movie, but stretched out into a series. Very popular, Robin.
And it's given Winona Ryder a comeback.
No, she's back, mate. She's back, and she is crazy as a coconut. Good luck. The main bloke, all of them get the award. Winona Ryder's the biggest star in the show, but nah, this other bloke grabs the award because he wanted to have a little bit of a chat about what he thought. Here we go.
We are united in that we are all human beings and we are all together on this horrible, painful, joyous, exciting, and mysterious ride that is being alive.
So then he's getting, so the Meryl Streeps of the world have pricked their ears up going, gee, this is what I'm on about.
Yeah.
So on he goes.
We are united in that we are all human beings and we are all together on this horrible, painful...
That's enough. Pull him down. Yeah, heard that. That's been doubled up. Now, so he's going on about the Trump thing that none of them were happy about, which is, it's fair enough. They're right to have a view of what they say. This is the bit that struck me.
It's difficult to celebrate, but this award from you, who take your craft seriously and earnestly believe, like me, that great acting can change the world.
Mm-hmm. Which bit?
Great acting can change the world. You remember when Toadie's performance...
which one?
...solved the Republican debate? I'm like you, Robin. I remember when a stirring performance from Peter Phelps in Stingers got the lockout laws changed.
Amazing.
I mean, I was there, Marto, with you.
Yeah.
You and I were both there when Sigrid Thornton's performance in the Thornbirds in the 80s.
Fixed climate change, didn't it?
Yeah. Stopped climate change in its tracks.
Incredible stuff. We looked at each other and just went,
thank you. Sigrid. Thank you, Sigrid. I was particularly...
Thank you to all actors for making our world a better place.
I was particularly moved when the New Zealand star, the latest Hobbit films, got up and told us what he was thinking about Donald Trump.
That is horrific.
Thank you.
We'll catch you tomorrow. Marto, Ed and Robin and Triple M.